CBS News, I'm Douglas Edwards. The Space Shuttle Challenger had been in the air just over a minute when Mission Control reported a scene which eyewitnesses won't soon forget.
Reports from the flight dynamics officer indicate that the vehicle apparently exploded and that impact in the water.
The Challenger is believed to have fallen into the Atlantic Ocean some 60 miles from Cape Canaveral. The fate of the seven-member crew, including New Hampshire schoolteacher Krista McAuliffe, is unknown. Among those eyewitnesses watching the ill-fated liftoff was Wendy Dickman.
About a minute into the lock, saw flames and spiraling smoke coming down like fingers coming out of the sky, and we knew something was wrong. Ran in, put the radio on, and Mission Control had said that they had blown up. They weren't sure what had happened or anything. They'd lost control and everything. Everybody was just stunned, totally stunned.
NASA spokesman George Diller says the firing room at the Kennedy Space Center has been sealed. No one is being permitted to leave until everyone can be questioned. It will take weeks to go over all the data and voice recordings to determine just what happened to the shuttle Challenger. President Reagan has canceled tonight's scheduled State of the Union address because of the accident. He will make it 1 week from tonight, next Tuesday. The president was in a meeting with top aides when he learned of the disaster. Later, he said he couldn't rid himself of thoughts about the astronauts' families. He added, "I can't help but think what they must be going through." He did say he wants a complete investigation before any more space launches, and he will address the nation later tonight about this tragedy at a time to be set when later word comes from NASA. It is still not exactly clear what happened. The initial stages of the flight appeared normal, both to the eye and according to telemetry data. It appeared one of the booster rockets may have separated prematurely. Another possibility is that one of the main engines exploded. A key unknown was whether the orbiter itself stayed in one piece after the explosion. If it did, that would have helped the astronauts' chances of survival, but that at this point, it's feared that all seven Americans were killed. Rescue efforts are underway. Correspondent Christopher Glenn is at the Kennedy Space Center in Florida. Chris, bring us up to date. Give us whatever you have at this moment.
Well, Douglas, the rescue effort is still underway, but given the fact that there has been no new information from NASA on that rescue effort for about the past 45 minutes, it's sort of like confirming some worst fears. At any rate, there has been no word from them. They sighted a little bit of debris in the water, but no major pieces of wreckage, apparently. There was some chemical residue, and they don't know where those pieces came from. What we do know is that the explosion occurred as the Challenger was almost 10 and a half miles up in the air. It was traveling at that point at just about 2,000 miles an hour. The explosion occurred about 18 miles from land, but that great forward speed of the rocket assembly at that point carried most of the debris almost 60 miles downrange. It's deep water there, and of course it will be some time before they can get divers down and start making inspections of the ocean floor itself. Here at the Cape, of course, watching the flight, many hundreds of students and educators from across the country and the parents and the immediate family of Krista McAuliffe, her attorney husband Steve, and their two children, Scott and 9 and Carolyn, 6 years old, Mr. and Mrs. Ed Corrigan of Framingham, Massachusetts, were McAuliffe's parents, and they were watching, and apparently, even though there was an announcement that the rocket had exploded, they were just standing there. They didn't realize what was going on until a NASA official came up into the bleacher grandstands and told them, and at which point they appeared stunned and were quickly led away. That's the latest we have from here.
Now, it appeared that the main booster rocket exploded and took the orbiter with it. Is that not your latest word?
Yes. There's been some word recently about some slow-motion reviews of videotape of the explosion, and they say that it appeared that the mighty external fuel tank, which holds a half a million gallons of highly volatile fuel, ruptured, this being after the initial explosion, and when it did so, it said that it appeared that the orbiter itself was just destroyed. It was broken into many pieces.
Nothing yet from the rescue ships.
Nothing yet, Douglas.
In Concord, New Hampshire, students at Christa McAuliffe's high school sat in stunned silence as they watched the disaster unfold on television. They were sent home about an hour ago, many wiping tears as they left. In Washington, Senator Jake Garn, who rode a shuttle mission last April himself, was especially moved.
Well, it's very difficult for me to talk about it because these were my friends. Mike Smith, the pilot, was my mother hen the first month that I trained. They assigned him to me, go to my classes and help brief me. And I don't know of any time that I have been more shocked or more moved than when my first wife was killed in an automobile accident. And so it's been very, very difficult for me this morning.
It's the first in-flight disaster in 56 manned American space missions. Three Apollo astronauts were killed in 1967. Now it's feared seven more astronauts may have been killed, but again, their fate at this time is unknown. Douglas Edwards, CBS News. News report on the tragedy today at Cape Canaveral, Florida. The explosion that destroyed the space shuttle Challenger moments after liftoff, apparently killing all seven crew members aboard, including schoolteacher Christa McAuliffe. The search is on in the Atlantic for the seven crew members or for debris or for any sign of what may have happened. So far, the only report we have had from Cape Canaveral is that streaks of chemical and some debris have been sighted. But the explosion was so severe, so catastrophic, that it took some 45 minutes for all of the debris to stop falling from the sky. And this, of course, delayed the dispatch of the manned rescue effort, although Navy vessels were in the area and helicopters were on the scene almost immediately. It was at least 45 minutes before the final pieces of the huge spacecraft and the booster rockets had rained down from that gigantic explosion in the sky, some 2 minutes after liftoff at the Cape. The reaction in the nation, of course, has been one of traumatic shock. President Reagan has canceled his State of the Union message for this evening, postponing it for a week until next Tuesday. Although Mr. Reagan will address the nation sometime tonight from the Oval Office, we do not have a confirmation of the time of that address as yet. The president also told a group of reporters at the White House shortly after the tragedy that the space program would have to stop its launch schedule of the shuttle until a complete investigation was made. We are, of course, awaiting any further information we might have on the fate of the crew, but anyone who has seen the pictures, the televised pictures of what happened in the sky over Cape Canaveral, would have to question very seriously whether there was any possibility of any survivors. And the only merciful thing that might be said was that the speed and the catastrophic explosion made the end of the lives of those seven brave people instantaneous. One of the people, of course, aboard that had galvanized the attention of the nation was the first citizen in space, a woman from New Hampshire, a housewife and mother, Christa McAuliffe. She had been chosen as the first teacher in the program, chosen from hundreds, if not thousands, of applicants for the honor of flying. And just yesterday and the day before, through the delays, she displayed a remarkable optimism and buoyancy about the prospects and said she wasn't nervous about the outcome. It was late July, shortly after she was chosen for the mission, that she spoke about why she thought she was picked as America's first private citizen in space.
When I went down there, there were nine other excited, enthusiastic, good teachers who I felt could easily represent anybody as a group on the shuttle. And I'm delighted. I'm delighted I'm here, but I really don't know what gave me that extra edge.
One thing that impressed the NASA people about Christa McAuliffe was her interest in diaries. She had planned to keep one on this flight.
Well, I teach a course called The American Woman, and it's a social history, and I'm very concerned that the ordinary person has been left out of the history books. So I felt that this would kind of connect history with the shuttle, which is normally thought of kind of as a space science type or high-tech project. It is our history, and everybody should be able to connect with that space age. So I was going to write now in my journal while I'm on board the shuttle, and then when I return, and hopefully give the students a picture of what an ordinary person's perspective is like when they're up in space.
Christa McAuliffe had special hopes for this morning.
Well, just the thought that I'm going to be part of history, I think, is the most exciting. As a historian, that's a very important part of my life. To be able to see the Earth from the new perspective of the shuttle, I teach history, and we talk about international relations, and we try to look at international boundaries, but we try to kind of foster that world community. Everybody is dependent on everybody else, and looking at the Earth from the shuttle, I think that's going to be very evident.
Krista McAuliffe, in an interview conducted last July when she was chosen as the first private citizen in space. She, of course, was aboard the ill-fated Challenger this morning, along with six others. Francis Scobie, the commander, his second shuttle mission, 46 years old. Michael Smith, 40, of Beaufort, North Carolina. Ronald McNair, Ellison Onizuka of Hawaii. Gregory Jarvis, and Judith Resnick, the other woman on the flight today. We have Tom Fenton standing by now in London. And Tom, we know it's quite late at night there in the British capital. Perhaps the reaction would be coming a little bit beyond the end of the working day. But what have you heard in the British capital as a result of this disaster?
Mitchell, the British have been glued to television sets and radios all evening long. Listening to blow-by-blow accounts, watching what seems like an endless repetition on television of those pictures of the shuttle exploding. The most characteristic comment I've heard from anyone watching these pictures is, it's incredible, it's unbelievable. Commentators on television and radio have been expressing shock and sadness. There are all sorts of speculation here as to what exactly went wrong. One leading commentator said he thought it would be a brave astronaut who went up again in a Challenger.
Tom, the British are not a direct participant in the American space program, although they are part of the European space effort. How do the British react to these programs in America? And you know, you're taking on a gigantic challenge in that country now. If that channel tunnel is ever built and human lives will be lost there, there's no lack of forward-looking daring on the other side of the Atlantic.
Well, the British follow the space program with immense interest, and I suspect a little envy, too. The British did quite a bit in the early days of space when it didn't cost much and dropped out of the space race a long time ago. They do, however, have an astronaut who is being prepared for a future program. And in fact, tomorrow, the British astronaut and his backup were planning to give a press conference tomorrow morning. I don't know yet whether that press conference will now take place.
Okay, Tom, well, thank you. We perhaps will be back to you. Of course, we'd be anxious to hear any reaction that the Prime Minister might have or anything from Buckingham Palace. But Tom Fenton in London, the third of our European reports, actually the fourth since this tragedy. We've heard from Rome, Paris, and Bonn. And now we're going back to the White House. White House spokesman Larry Speaks has just finished briefing reporters on the President's reaction and his plan to cancel the State of the Union. And I wonder, Gary, if you could bring us up to date.
Well, Mitchell, that's right. Larry Speaks did say that the president has decided to postpone his State of the Union address until next Tuesday. He has also asked Vice President Bush to go down to Cape Canaveral along with the acting NASA Administrator Bill Graham to carry the president's personal concern to the families and the NASA people who are down there. The president also will speak to the American people tonight from the Oval Office about this tragedy. We don't have a time yet on it, but it will be sometime later this evening, Speaks said. The president had said earlier that he was going to go ahead. Only within the half hour before Mr. Speaks came out here and made the announcement, the president said he was going to go ahead with the address tonight, saying you can't stop governing because of a tragedy. But apparently, with speaking with the majority leader on the Hill, Robert Dole, in the Senate, and House Speaker Thomas O'Neill, and I would imagine Mrs. Reagan had something to do with this because she apparently saw the liftoff on television and said, oh my God, no, when she saw the explosion. I think all of those things perhaps changed the president's mind. Mr. Speaks said that the president initiated the change in the address time, but I'm sure there were other outside influences. Also, the president also told NASA Administrator Graham to find out the cause of the tragedy, but then to go forward with the space program. The president said the dedication that these astronauts had given to the program force the United States to honor them in no other way than to have the space program go forward. And Mr. Speaks also said that the president saw the explosion, the liftoff and the explosion unfold on television and felt the pride and the horror that the nation did as a whole, he thought. And it was because of those things that he saw, plus, as I say, the input from the others, that he decided to cancel tonight's speech and put it off until next week.
Gary, I noticed that the Congress reacted immediately when they heard the news. They observed a moment of silence in the House and then adjourned for 2 hours and issued several statements, and many of the members said they were just appalled and horror-stricken by what had happened. Was there any indication of concern on the part of the White House as to the fate of the space program as a result of what happened today?
Well, as I say, Mitchell, the president told the NASA Administrator Graham to go down and find out what happened and then go forward with the program. That's sort of the indication that we've had here today all along, that that today's events will not deter the United States from pursuing its space program. And until we see otherwise or hear otherwise, I think that's what we're going to have to go with.
Okay, Gary Schuster, our White House correspondent. We'll be waiting to hear from you, Gary, as to the new time for the president's remarks tonight and how long they are expected to last. I suspect this will not have any impact on the progress of the legislative calendar, will it, the delay in the State of the Union?
I doubt it, Mitchell. It's the budget is supposed to come out this weekend, and Larry Speaks just told us that he thinks the budget will come out Wednesday, the State of the Union Tuesday, and things should go forward. What is interesting, of course, is the president was to send a legislative message to Congress tomorrow, really giving the specifics of his legislative agenda, because those were not going to be included in the State of the Union tonight. It was going to be a shorter speech. We'll see if that message goes forward as well. It almost is putting the cart before the horse in that sense, because then the speech would be following up with generalities about specifics that had already been delivered. But the White House is now working on fixing up its delivery of the legislative agenda and the speech. So we'll know more later on. This whole thing, of course, as you can well understand, has struck confusion into this operation.
Gary Schuster at the White House. As you heard, the president has now postponed his State of the Union message from tonight until next Tuesday, but will address the nation from the Oval Office sometime in the evening. Christopher Glenn is standing by at Cape Canaveral now, and of course down there the rescue effort is still underway and the questions are coming in very rapidly. Chris?
Some of those questions may be answered, Mitchell, in about an hour and 15 minutes. NASA plans to hold a news conference here at the Kennedy Space Center with Jess Moore, the Associate Administrator for Spaceflight, who was recently named the head of the Johnson Space Center in Houston. We don't know what they have to say at this point, but we'll certainly be following that. In the meantime, reporter Frank Motek of our Miami affiliate, WINZ, has been out and questioning some of the people who were here at the Cape as tourists to watch this launch, and Frank, what did they have to say?
Well, just as you and I saw, Chris, we were all shocked by it. They were shocked by it, and people were gathered at the visitor center here at the Kennedy Space Center today to see the launch. They gathered from all over the nation, and everyone was absolutely flabbergasted by what happened. The children especially expressed horror over what occurred, and we spoke with some of the people at that visitor center.
Well, we just saw the space ship go up, and you obviously knew something was wrong because it appeared as if it split apart in two pieces of fire, separating and going your own way.
What was your reaction when you saw that?
My knees started knocking, and I just felt ill in the stomach.
And where are you from?
Boston.
What is your name?
Teresa Tatro.
Yeah. What did you see from the highway?
We saw the smoke going up with the fire right in front of it, it seemed, and then it broke off into two sections with a big ball of smoke in between, and then little trails of smoke like streamers going off to all different sides.
Chris, I can assure you, looking into the people's eyes and the children's eyes especially, all of them hope to see what was a historic occasion, and later saw the fireball and the trails that we saw here at the CBS Bureau, and just utter horror, and many of them wiping tears away.
Okay, let us recap that at 3:30 Eastern Time this afternoon, about an hour and 10 minutes from now, NASA will hold a news conference here at the Cape with a high official presiding, and perhaps we will get some additional, more detailed information at that point. We do have the transcript of the last voice communications with the spacecraft. It goes something like this. Mission Control says, Challenger, your go at throttle up, and pilot Mike Smith said, Roger, go at throttle up, then the explosion. The Mission Control commentator, apparently not knowing what had happened, went on with some technical data about range and elevation, etc. Then a long silence, and then Mission Control simply comes back and says flight controllers are looking very carefully at the situation. The tragedy at that point already an accomplished fact. Mitchell.
Thank you, Christopher Glenn, in Cape Canaveral, Florida. We'll be back with you, of course, as the afternoon goes on, and we will broadcast live the NASA news conference, which is scheduled in about an hour from now on the stations of the CBS radio network. Many of them will be carrying that live. We hope then to obtain more information about the initial investigation that has been made of what may have caused the disaster today at the Cape, which destroyed the Challenger just 2 minutes after launch and resulted, we believe, at this point, tragically, in the death of all seven of the crew members aboard. This is the first fatal accident in the manned space program in the air. There have been 56 manned space missions. This was the 56th, and this was the one that brought tragedy and disaster. We have Wyatt Andrews, our correspondent in the Soviet capital of Moscow, on the line. We know that TASS has made a short announcement about this, but Wyatt, is there anything further, and do you expect that they will go further with their description of what happened at Cape Canaveral?
Mitchell, suspicions on that account are awfully tough to fake. As you probably know, it is now 10:22 at night in Moscow, and perhaps for that reason, as much as anything else, not for any lack of compassion, certainly there has been no official announcement from any Soviet officials, nor have there been any reaction from any of the cosmonauts or even former cosmonauts, even though we are trying to reach them. Again, it's just because that is because everything is pretty much officially shut down, and the accident happened after hours in Moscow. Having said that, as you pointed out, TASS did report, and with remarkable speed and with great accuracy, that the explosion had occurred. That TASS account coming about 30 minutes after the explosion of the space shuttle Challenger, and following that about 2 hours later, both pictures and that TASS report were part of the Soviet nightly newscast. The only thing remarkable about that is that it came with remarkable speed. I should point out that in contrast, in past Soviet mishaps, both in 1967 and in 1971, reporting of those mishaps here, took a great deal of time. I certainly, in the aftermath of this, don't mean to imply any lack of compassion on the part of the Soviets. It probably reflects, given the passage of time and given that this is the 1980s, a more instantaneous response on the part of Soviet newscasters. This is not the kind of event, especially given the fact that the Soviets have a sizable space program, where we suspect any ideological reaction whatsoever. Again, pointing out that the TASS and nightly newscast reports in the Soviet Union have been very straightforward and very accurate and have been reported without comment.
Wyatt Andrews, we'll maybe back with you later on. If you have any further information, we'd certainly want to hear from you. We have retired General Chuck Yeager on the line with us now. Chuck Yeager broke the sound barrier, and all of you may know of his career. He's talking with us from his home in Grass Valley, California. And, Mr. Yeager, what is your reaction to what happened today?
Well, my reaction is an unfortunate accident, but it's not the end of the space program, obviously. It'll be quite some time before NASA comes up with a finding as to the cause of the accident, and this is the way the system works in all accidents, whether it's a shuttle or a commercial airliner or a military airliner. They have to analyze all of the telemetry data and the information they have and find out the cause of the accident, fix it, and see that it doesn't happen again, and then press on.
I wonder if people understand the kind of danger, the kind of courage that is required for people like you and the space personnel, the astronauts, to get into a vehicle, whether it be a super speed plane.
Professional flyers or astronauts or the like that fool around with the equipment such as this obviously are quite dedicated, and it's their job, and that's the way they look at it, and that's the way I looked at it when I was flying research airplanes. That's the reason they pay you money. It's no different from doing any other job. At least that's the way I looked at it.
You know, I suppose most Americans remember the portrayal of your exploits and the right stuff in the motion picture and the great courage that it took both on your part and your compatriots who were flying in that other world of space. And I wonder if you had any final words about a moment like this, which appears as such a shock to all of us.
Yes, as I just mentioned, you look at it. Just a second.
Okay. Chuck Yeager at his home in California.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
You're breaking up a little bit, and I didn't hear the whole question, but it's basically what I said earlier, that number one, guys like who fly both the shuttle or airliners or military aircraft, they look to it as their job. And that's the only way I can explain it.
Chuck Yeager, who was the first man to break the sound barrier in experimental aircraft and is one of the great pioneers of American aviation, commenting on today's tragedy at Cape Canaveral, the destruction by an explosion of undetermined origin as yet of the Challenger just 2 minutes after liftoff, a shower of debris hurtled into the Atlantic. The Holocaust undoubtedly destroyed all aboard that craft, although a rescue operation is still underway at Cape Canaveral. We have been hearing from correspondents of CBS News around the world, reporting on reactions, as you heard moments ago, from Moscow. The Soviet news agency TASS, with remarkable speed and accuracy, reported what happened at the Cape. There was also shock expressed at the European Space Agency in West Germany and in Italy, where the Italian space program has been a participant in the U.S. space effort, also in reports from Paris and from London. Of course, the tragedy is centered, too, on the people, certainly, who perished in today's disaster, and the one who captured the imagination of the American public, perhaps more than any other on this flight, was the first citizen in space, Krista McAuliffe, who was chosen from a large group of competitors last July to have that honor. And throughout the days just prior to the flight, and even during the three postponements before today's fatal and disastrous liftoff, had expressed great optimism, courage, enthusiasm, hope, anticipation, and was to have taught two lessons from space this week, lessons that were to have been televised, a unique and breakthrough kind of venture. That, of course, will never happen with this teacher. And the questions now arise, questions being asked in Washington and at the Cape, as to the fate of the space program, though the president and everyone else says it will go forward. It has been under a very heavy schedule. 12 more space shuttle launches were due this year. Whether that schedule now has proven to be too much in retrospect, whether the delays or the pressures contributed in somewhat to this disaster today, will of course be the focus of the investigation upcoming. President Reagan's State of the Union message delayed for 1 week from tonight. However, he will speak to the nation in a while, and we will have the live coverage of NASA's news conference later. Mitchell Krause, CBS News.